Good morning, family. How are y'all doing this morning? Let's pray as we begin. Lord, teach us to pray. Help us realize, Lord, we have never come to a point where we have got it all together. And I pray, Father, today for a spirit of humility upon us all. We ask, Lord, that you teach us and help us to be men and women of prayer. We thank you for the opportunity today to talk about this, and we pray your Holy Spirit will teach us today. We need you, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been talking about, you know, various questions people have about God, about church, about different things. Last week we talked about why do we struggle with sin. A few weeks before that we talked about, you know, can I really change? You know, there's a lot of different things we've been wrestling with. Today we're going to talk about prayer and how can I improve my prayer life. That's a very common question ministers get from people asking them, you know, how can I improve in this area? How often do you pray? What do you pray about when you talk to God? What are some things that you mention? It's interesting that in a recent study, the average Christian prays 10 minutes per day and watches 4 hours of television or internet. And if you're like me, I'm in that bracket. I don't spend enough time talking to the Lord, and I want to. And why is it we don't have enough time to talk about God and talk to Him? Why do we struggle so much with our prayer lives? In the next 20 minutes, I want to talk to you about a few things. First of all, I want to talk to you today about some misconceptions about prayer. What is the purpose of prayer? I think if you understand the purpose of prayer. And by the way, pull out your outline if you haven't got one. Does everyone have an outline? Anybody not have one? You should have one near you. This is where I really want to go today with all this, is what are some practical things that we can do to improve our prayer lives? So that's kind of where we're going today, and I think you'll enjoy this message today. Let's start with misconceptions about prayer. What are some common misconceptions? Well, one of the most common ones is, you know, God has a big universe to run. You know, why would He care about me? God doesn't really care about me, does He? That picture to me is a very intriguing picture. Most of you know the story of Pompeii and the story around 71 BC, the volcano that happened there that destroyed an entire city. Well, it's interesting, archaeologists found this man and this woman together, embraced in one another. And I find that a very intriguing picture because it tells me they cared for one another. But when we think about God, we think, God doesn't care about me. He's got a big universe to run. Peter would disagree with you. Cast all your anxiety on Him, for He cares for you. God cares about your life. He cares about the choices you make. He cares about what you're thinking. He cares about what's going on in your family right now, the struggles, the problems. Yes, God wants you to talk to Him about those things. So God does care about us. Another common misconception is, well, prayer doesn't change things. You know, God's got it all figured out, and you know, what can I possibly do? Prayer doesn't change anything. James 5, beginning in verse 17, listen to these words. Elijah was a human being as we are. Aren't you glad those words are there? He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens again gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. God answered prayer. God changed things. Based on Elijah's prayer, he changed things. He was an ordinary man. And do you know what a lot of our problem is? Is we see prayer as getting our needs met. You know, we bring our to-do list to God and treat Him like some cosmic Santa Claus. But that is not the purpose of prayer. Listen to these interesting thoughts about prayer. Prayer is not getting what we want, but it's getting what God wants. It's about surrender. Prayer is about saying, Lord, You're in charge here. You're driving. We want what You want in this situation. And when you trust God and you know God's going to give us what is best for us. Prayer is not to convince God to change His mind. Oh, how many times have you done that? How many times have we sat down in prayer and we've tried to convince God to change His mind about something? No, it's for Him to change our minds. How many times have you gone in prayer in something and you're praying about it and all of a sudden you kind of change your tune about what you're praying about? Suddenly what you were praying about is not really that big a deal anymore. God wants to change our minds through prayer. Prayer is not to have our will done in heaven, but for God to have His will done on earth. And ultimately, when we pray, we're not trying to change His plan. He is changing us. Prayer is about change. Jennifer Kennedy Dean has an interesting statement she made. She said, prayer is not a benign, feel-good, stress-relieving exercise. Prayer releases the power of God to change the circumstances of earth. Isn't that true? I love that picture of the African children praying. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We've heard that. Some of the greatest revivals of the 18th and 19th centuries came about simply because people got together and prayed. Prayer releases God's will on the earth, and prayer does change things. We have not because we ask not. Another common misconception in prayer is, well, if God already knows, you know, everything we need, why do I have to ask? Has this ever happened to you as a parent? You see your child is really struggling and wrestling with something, right? And you know what the problem is. Yet they don't come to you and talk to you about the problem. How does that make you feel as a parent? Anybody here feel frustrated? I do, because I see her struggling. And I'm saying, please just come to me and talk to me about this. And then, I'll never forget it, one day I started thinking about, why don't I do that with God? I can get upset, you know, I want my daughter to talk to me, but what about the Lord? Yes, God does know our needs, but He wants us to come to Him because it shows our dependence on Him. It shows us, shows Him that we have faith. That's what it's about. How good do you feel when your children come to you? They're telling you that they trust you, that they need you. God is no different. And if we have a relationship with God, we're going to pray. So those are some common misconceptions of prayer. Now, let's talk about what is the purpose of prayer. And this is where we're going to kind of get down to the meat of everything. And I think the best way to understand the purpose of prayer is to look at the Lord's Prayer found in Matthew chapter 6. If you have your Bible, be turning there in Matthew chapter 6. Before we do that, would you be interested in hearing the Lord's Prayer in another language? When we lived in Tanzania, East Africa, the language there was Kiswahili. And granted, my Kiswahili is a little rusty, but here's the Lord's Prayer. Baba yetu uliye mbinguni, jina lako litukuzwe, ufalme wako uje, mapenzi yako yatimizwe, hapa duniani kama huko mbinguni, utupe leo riziki yetu, utusamehe deni zetu, kama sisi nasi tu wasamehevyo wadeni wetu, na usisitui majaribuni, lakini utukue na yule mwovu, kwa kuwa ufalme ni wako, na nguvu, na utukufu hata milele. Amina. Everybody understand what I'm talking about? God understood what I just said. Do you know God knows every language in the world? You know there's 6,000 to 7,000 languages in the world, and God knows every language. It's very common in churches in Tanzania to repeat that every Sunday. It's It's beautiful words to hear it in another language especially. But it's even more beautiful to hear it in your own language. Listen to these words in Matthew 6. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. That is a 66-word masterpiece. Only God could encompass the totality of all of our needs into 66 words. This is a blueprint for prayer. You know, it's not to be said ritualistically. I know a lot of churches, it's very common for people to say this every Sunday, and I think it loses its meaning. I think we can just run through it and not even think about what we're saying. That's not the purpose. Jesus taught us this. Jesus is teaching us the purpose of prayer and these beautiful words. So let's run through them, shall we, as we walk through this today. Our Father. It's interesting, in the Old Testament, the Jewish people thought of God as their Father. Isaiah says, "But you are our Father. You, O Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer from of old is your name." The faithful Jewish person saw God as the Father of Israel, but to call Him that was unheard of. You don't call God Father in the Old Testament. Because to a Jewish person, they feared blaspheming God's name. They wouldn't even say His name, the beautiful name of Yahweh. But now God's reign is in Christ Jesus, and He has come, and now He desires that intimacy. He even desires for us to say, "Abba, Father, Abba." If you go to Israel today, you can listen to children as they follow behind their fathers, and they're saying, "Abba, Abba, Abba." And that is the kind of intimacy that God desires with us. Daddy. That's what that means. Our Father. What is the ultimate purpose of prayer? It is to fellowship with God. Don't you like that picture? It is to fellowship with the Father, to know God better each day. And how does the God of this universe want to be addressed? Oh, our very reverend, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent Creator. No. It's warm. It's relational. It's our Father. Our Father. He's not just my Father, He's your Father too. And because He is our Father, we have unity. You know, not many of us like, some of us don't like this term Father. It's a difficult word. When we hear the word Father, we conjure up images of abusive father, of a father who was cruel and mean towards us. And we've been hurt by our earthly dads. For some of us, if you've had a rough relationship with your earthly dad, you need to know one thing about God. God is not like that. And you need to understand that you can approach the Father who adores you. He is your biggest fan. He deeply, deeply loves you. If He had a refrigerator, as Max Lucado said, He would put your picture on it because He loves you deeply. That is our Father. Hallowed be your name. Another purpose of prayer is worship. It's not only to spend time with the Father, it's to worship Him. It's interesting, when Jewish parents would name their child, they usually would give them a name that they hoped would embody that child's life and his character. All the names, you know, for example, the name Elijah means He is God. And Elijah proved that by his life. He showed Israel that the Lord is God. God's name represents in Hebrew all that He is. His character, His plan. You know, the name Yahweh, do you know what it means? It means He who causes things to be. Kind of an appropriate name. The one who is I am, the great creator, the great almighty God that we worship. As believers, our prayer should be that God's name should be hallowed. It should be respected and revered. It should be not used as a cuss word. God's last name is not damn. And I've told people in working in a convenience store several times when I first was baptized 21 years ago, I would repeat that to them and they would say, sorry. He's in the saving business. He deeply loves you. Don't disrespect God's name. When we pray God's name will be hallowed, we're saying, Lord, I pray Your name will be honored and respected. Your kingdom come. Another purpose of prayer is to reach the lost. You know, kingdom means, it does not mean the church, okay? I think we greatly misunderstood this name, this word kingdom. A kingdom in the Old Testament, kingdom in the New Testament, kingdom is God's sovereign rule over all things. He's in charge. This is His universe. This is His earth. He is King, and this is His kingdom. And when Jesus asked believers to pray, Your kingdom come, He's saying we need to pray that God's reign will come into the lives of every human being on this planet. He is praying that for every tribe, for every nation, that they will come to know God's sovereign rule in their lives. That's what it means to say, Your kingdom come. If you have a bunch of people who God reigns in their life, then you have a church. You have a room full of people that have God's reign. Then you have a church. But kingdom by itself does not mean church. It's so much more than that. It's such a rich and beautiful word. It means God's rule in this universe. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, if we pray that God's reign will come down into the hearts of unbelievers, we also need to pray that God will rule our own lives and that His ways will become our ways. You know, and that's another purpose of prayer. Not to get what we want, but to let God change our hearts so that His ways are our ways. That is the purpose of prayer. Another purpose. Prayer changes things. It releases God's will. It's interesting that the first part of prayer here, the prayer, you've got 36 words in this prayer have to do with the glory of God. They have to do with, you know, hallowed be Your name. May Your name be honored. May it be respected. May Your will be done. Those are things for God. 30 words have to do with our needs, you know. And I just want you to notice, it's like, there's a neat ratio there. I think we should spend half of our time worshiping and honoring God for who He is and then bringing to Him our needs and desires. It's an interesting ratio in the Lord's Prayer here. Give us today our daily bread. You know, I think a very important purpose of prayer is to remind ourselves we need to depend on God. We need to depend on God. And I'll be quite honest with you, I've never prayed the prayer that I knew many of my African friends would pray. Many Tanzanian churches, that's the 11th poorest nation in the world, and I've heard them pray, Lord, we need food today. Please give us food. We need water today. Please help us. And I thought to myself, I've never prayed that prayer. I don't know what it's like to be a person that is totally depending on God for everything. And therefore, many times I would sit and talk with him and I'd say, you know, there's a passage in James 2:5 that says, the poor are rich in faith. And here's where it is, folks. I used to tell them, you guys have a lot more faith than I do. And they're like, no, I can't believe that. Yes, because you are depending on God for everything. Me and my, you know, American self-sufficient spirit, I still depend on Chris and not enough on God. What God is telling us here in this give us our daily bread. He's talking about our life's necessities, food, shelter, clothing. In fact, he would say later, if you put me first in your life, I'll take care of all these other things as well. And when Jesus uses the term daily, he is saying to us, stay into today. Stay here. Stop worrying about tomorrow. Stop worrying about next week. I'm in charge here. I'm going to provide for you. Stay into today. That's what he's saying. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And this is the one most of us really wrestle and struggle with, to remind ourselves of our need for forgiveness and that we need to restore broken relationships with others. You know, bread provides the physical end. Forgiveness provides the spiritual end. We need that in our lives. Jewish rabbis thought if you forgave someone three times, that was enough. Peter went on further and said, well, Lord, what if I've forgiven somebody seven times? And you know what Jesus said? Not seven times, but what? 70 times seven. And his point was that our forgiveness should be like God's. It should be unlimited. We need to pray for that. Is forgiveness natural for us? No. It's very difficult for us. But as God forgives us, we will in turn look to others and say, I need to show them the same grace that God has shown me. Lead us not into temptation. You know what that means? It means simply this. God doesn't tempt people, okay? James chapter 2:1 tells us that. It means if the opportunity to sin comes today, Lord, please help me not give in to my sin. And I think that's a reminder to say, you know, we cannot follow Jesus without His strength. We cannot do it. I talked last week about our struggle with sin. We all are struggling, amen? And we all need Jesus to help us. None of us are above temptation. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:12. Do not be think that you will not fall. Any one of us can fall. We all can be tempted, put us in the right situation. But another purpose of prayer is to remind us we cannot resist sin without the Spirit's power. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. Deliver us from the evil one. I like this one. This one is to remind us that we are at war. But the good news is that the war is already won. Satan is a defeated enemy. Yeah, we're going to lose some battles. Yeah, he's still hanging around, but the war is already won. And I love this last section. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And it's interesting, the prayer begins with the glory of God. It ends with the glory of God. And in the Old Testament, the glory of God represented in the tabernacle was God coming down. Remember? In the book of Numbers? We should be reminded that everything that we do, whether in word, whether in deed, is all for the glory of God, to make God look good. That's the Lord's Prayer. And you could preach several months on this one prayer. But I think we can understand today the purpose of prayer behind some of the things we've shared today. Now, what are some practical things we can do to improve our prayer life? What are some practical things we can do? I think one of the most important ones is we need to be real. And we need to be relational. I don't know how that dog did that. I don't know how they got that picture at the right moment. I thought that dog is so cute. But you know what he's saying there, don't you? Hey, be real. And I think that's what God wants from us. I think God enjoys a child's prayer more than an adult's prayer. You want to know why? Children are going to be real. I pray for Sparky, my goldfish. I pray for Jimmy at school. I wish he would quit picking on me. That's an honest prayer. And I think God likes that. He likes it when we're real. Don't use a bunch of flowery words if you don't mean them. Great, omnipotent, omniscient. I mean, that's real nice to say if you really mean it from your heart. But if you're trying to impress God with your flowery jargon, God's not impressed. God is impressed with humility and being real. Instead of the long prayer sessions, just talk to God throughout your day. Treat it as a relational thing. You know how you talk to your buddies? You talk to you on the phone, you talk to your family throughout the day, and maybe a few sentences, and maybe a paragraph, but it's not a real long conversation normally. Talk to God in that form so that we are praying without ceasing. We're walking with Him every day. He's walking with us, and we feel like He is a part of our day. Invite God into your day that He's created for you. So be real and be relational. Secondly, pour your heart out to God. Psalm 62, verse 7, David says this very thing, and we're like, what do you mean pour your heart out to God? Do you mean tell God how I really feel about the person that's hurt me? Yes. Tell God how frustrated I am because these guys at work are absolutely driving me nuts? Yes. Tell God that I'm a frustrated mother. I feel like I've got everything on my shoulders right now and I cannot handle one more day with the stress of my household. Yes. That is the kind of prayer that you need to pray. And when you pour your heart out to God, you are pouring your heart out to Him, talking about your frustrations and your hurts. Why do you think David was called a man after God's own heart? It was because he was real before God. He was honest. He was struggling. I love the Psalms for that reason. And just like a pitcher of water, I think we got to get, you know, and I like this picture right here. You're saying that's a nasty picture. That's right. For a lot of us, that's what's in our hearts right now. We've got bitterness. We've got anger. We've got lust. We've got all these things that are in our hearts. Doubt and unforgiveness and hate. God wants us to deal with those things. And I think it's good to spend time with God, pouring your heart out to Him, saying, I'm really frustrated with this situation. Share your frustrations, your pain. He desires all of you, not just the nice part on Sunday, but He desires the nasty, difficult part too that we all have inside us. He desires that. And that doesn't, God's not going to stop loving you just because you share what's really on your heart. He's going to love you and help you through that time. So pour your heart out to the Lord. Pray as you read Scripture. This is another thing that will revolutionize your prayer life, and it's really something that's really helpful to me, I think. You know, when you come to a challenging verse, for example, love your enemies. That's pretty challenging, isn't it? Stop what you're doing and say, Lord, I'm not loving my enemies. Would you please help me to love my enemies? Pray as you read Scripture. Help me obey, Lord, what I read in Your Word. Number four, pray Paul's prayers in the first person. And on your outline, you've got several prayers from Ephesians, and Philippians, and Colossians. What you do is you change the pronouns to reflect your own personal prayer. For example, Paul says in Ephesians 1:17, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. Nice prayer for somebody. We can pray, Father, I ask that You give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that I may know You better. You see? Then you could take these prayers and you can personalize them. And they mean a lot. When you start lifting these up, you're praying just like the Apostle Paul would pray. So, try that, and you'll find that it will really help your prayer life immensely. Number five, I would say praying the Psalms is one of the most important things that you can do. I personally think every now and then it's good to sit down with a Psalms of praise and come to God and just read the Psalm to Him. Read it to Him as if you're lifting your praise up to God. There's some beautiful words in the Psalm. Psalm 103, 145, there's some beautiful ones that we can lift up to God. Journaling. Buy a notebook. Begin writing down your thoughts and prayers. I've done this at various points in my life, my walk with God, and I found that when I do it and when I diligently do it, it actually is a great way to see how the Lord's working in your life. Because you can go back and see, that's what I was praying for back then. Did God answer that prayer? Yeah, God did answer that prayer, sure enough. And you start going through that thing and you see what you're praying about. And it will really help you. And I'm trying to get back into this again on a regular basis. Number 7, try to stay away from the cliche phrases. You know, we get stuck, and I think this, as human beings, this is normal, okay? Don't feel like I'm pointing the finger or bashing, because I struggle with the same thing. I get caught in a rut, and I get saying the same thing over and over and over again, and it soon becomes, I'm not really meaning what I'm saying. Anybody ever struggle with that? For example, think about it what we normally say. What do we say before we go on a trip? We say, you know, Lord, we pray for safety. You know, we ask that no one gets hurt. Protect us in Jesus' name. Now, is it wrong to pray for God's protection? Absolutely not. But I think in our culture today, and it's interesting, you think about this, it is almost like we have elevated safety to be our highest priority in everything. Listen to these words from Francis Chan, a pastor out in California. We've elevated safety to the neglect of whatever God's best is, whatever would bring God the most glory, or whatever would accomplish His purposes in our lives. Would you be willing to pray this prayer? Lord, bring me closer to You during this trip, whatever it takes. Flat tires and all, okay? You'd be amazed how God will work in that kind of prayer. Because often He's trying to teach us something and we're not listening, we're just wanting to be safe. When He's saying, I want to teach you to depend on Me. Safety is a good thing to pray for, but don't let it become the highest priority of our lives. We find cliche praises in our prayers, don't we? What does a typical prayer look like? Well, we often thank You for this day, thank You for the many blessings, be with me, watch over, protect me, bless this day, forgive us of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. And, oh, guide, guard, and direct us. Okay? We like to add, we get into a rut where we say the same things over and over again. Now, is there anything wrong with this prayer? Yes. It's selfish. Very selfish. It's all about me. It has nothing to do with God. It's all about my comfort, what I need, what I want. Instead of saying, bless me and bless my family, try saying with David, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless His holy name. We bless You today, Lord. You are good. You are righteous. Instead of being consumed with our needs, think about this kind of prayer. Blessed be Your name, O Lord. You are so good. What can I do for You today? I surrender my life. More of You, Lord, less of me. Interrupt the day. Do whatever You want. Use me today to accomplish all that You desire. Wow. Notice the difference? It's not about me anymore. It's about God. You're not praying for yourself. You're praying, Lord, what can I do for You today? And God will answer a prayer like that. Are you in a prayer rut? I've been in prayer ruts a lot these last 21 years as a follower of Jesus. There are some wonderful books there that can help us when we get into ruts at the bottom of your outline by Beth Moore. The one by Beth Moore is just fantastic. That's Praying God's Word. Oh, that is so good. Jennifer Kennedy Dean's workbook on prayer is excellent as well. If you're in a prayer rut, change your place of prayer. Go out and walk and pray. Go ride your bike and pray. Go work out at the gym and pray. Try creative things that will help you get out of the rut that we all get into. Another thing that helps, I think, too, is to listen to praise and worship music. I found this one to help a lot as it gets me thinking about spiritual things, especially in the morning as we begin the day. And this last one, these last two, I think, are kind of interesting to think about. Listening. Have you ever just gone to prayer and you've said a few things and then stopped? Silence. Listen to what maybe God is speaking through His Word, through your thoughts, through your heart, through circumstances. Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Try that. Try it. And I think we got to get organized. I don't think there's anything wrong with writing down your prayer requests, your prayer, who you're praying for. This is, journaling's good. But I also like the fact that sometimes we have to organize our prayers. And it's always helped me to, you know, the faith, the facts of prayer: faith, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. That's a good way to get yourself organized with prayer. Especially for our new Christians, this is a wonderful way to help you get started in your time of prayer. Now, as we close today, I want to challenge you of a need that we have here at Forest Mill that I want to get you to think about. We need to start, I believe, on Monday nights, and we can meet over in the Botts house, as we already have some wonderful things going on. Phyllis and a lot of the ladies are doing cards, and John McIntosh and several of the other men are organizing visitation. And I think it would be cool to have a prayer group that meets, that prays specifically for Forest Mill. We pray for the elders, we pray for the ministry leaders, we pray for the missionaries, we pray for the struggles that we know people sick. You'd be amazed. You start thinking about all the things that we need to pray about. Man, there's a lot going on that we need to pray about. I need someone to organize this and lead it. It doesn't have to be one person. But if you're interested in being a part of this, and you'd like to be to come on every Monday night, and we've got a prayer guide, we can help you get started with it, come and talk to me afterwards. And let's get this thing on the ball, because we need to bathe this church in prayer. We have not because we ask not. And it's not saying we get what we want, but we say we get more of what God wants in our lives. Today, I don't know where you are with Jesus, but the issue is, if you died today, are you confident you'd be in heaven with Him? That's really the most important thing, because like it says on the sign out there, you know, where are we going to spend more time? Here or eternity? Eternity. So we need to focus on eternal things. Maybe today you haven't begun your walk with God, and the Bible is very simple in understanding what we need to do. If you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you say, "Yes, I'm ready to put my trust in Jesus. I am lost. I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. I'm ready to put my trust in the finished work of the cross." God calls us to repent, which means to change our ways and to go God's way. It's a decision in my mind that leads to my feet. Repentance is shown in my actions, and it's something I will be doing my entire Christian life. God calls us to confess our faith before people. And baptism is where we begin that relationship with God, where we are born again of the water and the Spirit. And maybe today you've already done those things, but you just need some encouragement from this congregation and the prayers. You're going through some times, you're going through some struggles. And you know, nobody in this room is going to judge you, because this is a hospital for sinners. It's not a hotel for saints. And we're going to pray for you. The shepherds here are going to love you and help you. Whatever your need is, won't you come as we stand and sing.
This is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of us treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer.